We have two absolutely amazing women joining us for a fantastic conversation on developing low-code serverless applications. So the reason why we have this session is because I know Donna Sarkar, who is a principal cloud advocate at Microsoft, is so passionate about the Power Platform and enabling citizen developers, basically enabling everyone out there to build applications, even when they don't know how to write code. And then I've listened recently to a talk by Linda Nichols, who's a cloud native specialist at Microsoft, at Serverless Days Virtual. And she was talking about this concept of builders, not coders. And when I heard Linda talk about that, I thought that we absolutely need to bring together Donna and Linda to geek out and nerd out about the citizen developer and low-code platforms and how we enable folks around the world to build applications even when they're not necessarily coders or proficient in code. And I have two interesting facts here about Donna and Linda. Interesting fact about Donna, she is a fashion designer, and she also has a wine bottle that's designed for her. That is so awesome. And interesting fact about Linda, she is part of one of the teams that has the best names at Microsoft. She's part of the Global Black Belts team. Imagine that when you come into a customer and you say, hey, I'm Global Black Belt. That's really awesome. But also, she has fostered over 30 cats and kittens since the pandemic started, which is pretty impressive. All right. Well, remember, everyone, to welcome Linda and Donna in the chat. We're very excited about this conversation. And Donna and Linda, take it away.
Oh, Donna, you're on mute, I think.
That's a great way to start a conference.
I was having a panic of like, oh no, my headphones are working.
Okay. What I was saying was thank you, Simona, for that amazing introduction. Pro tip, you should always have someone else introduce you. It almost doesn't even matter who it is. And the less they know you, it's almost better because, you know, we're pretty bad at introducing ourselves. But Linda, tell us, what is a Global Black Belt? Because that is just a cool sounding job and I bet everyone wants to know.
Yeah, so I mean, we're essentially problem solvers. I mean, you know, we work in open source, we work in serverless, Kubernetes, everything kind of in the cloud native space, but we just have lots of interesting problems coming to us and, you know, we have to find interesting solutions and we're just helping customers all the time and creating content. It's a pretty awesome team.
It sounds awesome. So tell me a little bit how it works. So a customer calls you, anyone in the world or from companies, or how does the process work to get a hold of Linda to do black belting?
Well, I'm on the Americas team, so I'm primarily going to be working with customers in, you know, Canada or America or South America. But yeah, they come to us through, you know, other Microsoft employees, or, you know, we have other internal processes, or, you know, once we've worked with people a lot, sometimes they may come to us directly and say, hey, you really offered a lot of help on this solution and can you come back and help me again? And so, you know, we work on lots of different problems and we really get to understand like what's happening out in the real world, which is awesome.
Yeah, so you get to be outside this like pristine lab environment, us engineers set up of here's how tech works together and here's how, you know, Azure should play with Power Platform and how they should magically plug into Teams and everything just works in your tenant. And you get out into the world like, well, that didn't work. That didn't work at all. So you get a real taste for what customers deal with because you're solving these things in real time.
Yeah, so, and if I'm really super interested in something like, you know, low code, serverless, you know, I'm off on my own playing around, putting together solutions, building things. And then when people have questions, I can say, oh, I already encountered that problem. Here's what I did. And, you know, and kind of point to GitHub or something like that.
I love that. While we were pre-gaming this talk, Linda mentioned that she actually comes from a very interesting background where she didn't become a dev until later in career. She actually started her career as what we call a citizen dev, as in someone who comes from a non-traditional technical background where they don't come from a world of coding. So Linda, do you want to tell everyone about what you used to do and how you graduated to become, you know, a coder?
Yeah, so I was lucky. I got a job on a help desk. They hired someone with a degree in art and like one certification to answer the phone and like problem solve. And, you know, we needed a help desk application. And so I was like, okay, we have Microsoft Access. I'm going to build this help desk application. And so I built that. Mm-hmm. And then I built another app and then another app. And then I became the developer on the team. And I knew a little bit of like, you know, C from college. And then I learned Visual Basic. And then I started building web apps. And then I learned SQL Server. And I started connecting SQL Server to my Access apps. And then I just became a real developer. That's why I'm so passionate about getting everyone to code, not just people with CS degrees.
Right. You know, the analogy that we share a lot is everyone in the world learns to read and write when they're in school. It is mandatory. There's no like, oh, I don't feel like reading or I don't feel like writing. You're going to do it or you're not graduating school. It's not happening. But not everyone needs to go off and be an author. It's not common. But these are skills that everyone in the world needs for whatever reason, whether you're crafting a tweet or writing an email or giving a speech or whatever. These are skills everyone needs to know. And I really want everybody in the world who is able to gain computer science education. And that is not necessarily, oh, you need to be a kernel engineer and write assembly language. That's how I started. Do not recommend unless you're into it. Unless you're really into it, assembly language is not the best place to start. But I think everyone in the world should have the ability to build apps to solve their problems. Like you for help desk, small business owner like myself building like inventory management apps that just run on your phones. This is not brain surgery apps. This is apps that you can put together in 15, 20 minutes to solve a specific problem in your life. And you and I truly believe anyone in the world with a little bit of work, a bit of common sense, can learn these skills.
That's true. We've both been in the trenches writing thousands of lines of code, and we've also done low code. Yeah. And yeah, the low code routes is easier, better.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
You know, now my policies become, does it have to be a lot of code? If not, why am I doing all this work? Because every line of code not written is a line of code you don't have to maintain.
Exactly. Removing liability, potential bugs. You don't have to test lines of code that aren't written.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
Makes me really happy. So speaking of lines of code, I hear you've got an app or a demo to show us today.
I do. Awesome. So I'm going to share my screen. This demo that I'm going to show is going to be very relevant to 2020 because it is going to be an application for, let me make sure I'm selecting the right screen here to share.
Is it cat fostering?
No, it is about the end of the world and meteor impacts. Because it's 2020, we have to worry about such things now.
You know, this is a real fear. If any of you live in the US, I'm sorry. It's a real fear. Just in the world. Yeah.
So I'm going to start this recording. No sacrifices needed to the demo gods here because we went the safe route. But I'm starting out by kind of showing here the NASA APIs. They're great. They give you lots of cool data. The asteroids API is what I'm using here, which is NEOW's Near Earth Object Web Service. And what I did was I created kind of a wrapper for this in API management. It's another Azure service, and there's a consumption tier there. So it's also can be serverless. And then my app's going to use Logic Apps and then also Power Platform because I have a Twitter bot and I have a little application. So here I'm in the Azure portal here. I've got a few other Logic Apps. You can see my Pet Finder bot. But Killer Asteroids is the one that we really care about today. So I'm going to go here in the designer. You can see these little Lego blocks here. In Logic Apps, these are all connectors. They can be to external APIs. Mm-hmm. There's also code. I mean, we don't care about code so much today, but code exists.
Yes.
So I'm just showing a little bit of the JSON.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go back to the designer.
Yeah.
Every Logic app always starts with an event trigger because it is event driven and it's our serverless workflow tool.
Mm-hmm.
So my event here is going to be recurrence. So once every day, I'm going to send out a tweet if there is a hazardous meteor seen close to the Earth. And okay. So I'm just kind of showing the options here. Also, this workflow is divided into, I've got like an HTTP connection on the left, and then I have a custom connector on the right. The one on the left, I'm just putting this here to show that I'm connecting to my API management public endpoint there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just using that as a wrapper so I can go ahead and put my keys in there, or I'm kind of filtering the data as well to just be for today to make life a little easier. I also created a custom connector for Logic Apps. Power Platform also has custom connectors, and they're essentially the same user experience. So if you're using Azure or Power Platform, they're the same. And then I can reuse this custom connector. And then from there, I'm going to parse JSON. That's just a little bit of like housekeeping. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go into a for each loop. So far, no code. All I'm using is, mm-hmm. you know, JSON schemas, pretty easy, connecting things together. And now I'm going to go to the for each loop. So here mm-hmm. I'm saying for each one of these near Earth objects that is coming from this API, and this is dynamic. Yep. So I can grab anything from any of the previous steps here, and or I can use some expressions that are built in. Everything's kind of selecting drag and drop.
Mm-hmm.
And the next here is going to be the condition, because I only care about hazardous asteroids, because there are a lot of them that come relatively close. I mean, close for NASA and close for us is a little different. So if it's hazardous, is only when we care. So we post a tweet if it's hazardous. And here in my tweet, I'm also grabbing some dynamic content because I want to tell everyone what the name of the meteor is and how close it is actually going to be in kilometers. Uh-huh. And I could put any kind of dynamic content in there I want. So I just kind of put that together. And then I'm going to run this workflow. And so it's going to take a second to run. While it's after it runs, it actually takes us back to the designer and shows us the workflow that completed. Or, you know, if it failed, it's going to show me that it failed too. And then I can go through and kind of do some debugging. So on the left, I'm just showing that it hit API management, got some data, custom connector worked, parse JSON worked, for each. So there's 12 meteors here. Okay. And what it does is it loops through every one. The first one is not hazardous. It's false. It failed. Second one, same deal. Mm-hmm. The tweet does not work. It's going to skip through.
Yep.
And we're going to keep going, keep going. And then I think we're going to get a true one here. Yes. Now it's true.
All right. Hazardous. Help. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to hit us. So we're going to know that really? 2020 almost got us.
Almost.
And it keeps going.
Yeah.
So for every hazardous meteor, this is going to go through. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go over to Twitter and show my bot account. Uh-huh. It's coming any moment. There we go. So these cats tweet as my bot accounts, all kinds of bot stuff in here. And here I'm going to show the tweets. So those are the two meteors that came close. I mean, obviously that's a lot of kilometers away.
Yeah.
But it was close. So we tweeted. So now I'm going to show that since I have that API management instance and I have this data coming through, I can now use this to create an application for this data.
That's right.
Except that I'm lazy though, and I don't want to code an application. So I'm going to use Power Platform where I can very easily make a nice looking application. And I'm a terrible front end dev. So anything I would have created from scratch would just look horrible.
Yeah.
And so my Power Platform app is going to look not the best because I'm not a web designer, but it looks pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So now we're.
Yeah. Without you having to do this work, which is
exactly.
Great.
Yeah. So there are 12 meteors. Mm-hmm. We can look at the hazardous and see our two, the 8 and 9 that are in there. A couple other thing info in there, NASA link. And here I'm kind of showing, like, here are all the elements that are on the page that I just dragged and dropped. Yeah. I connected this data table to a custom connector in Power Apps to connect to API management. Now, I created a custom connector. Note, as of last week, there's a API management connector. So I could change this now, upgrade it, and just do a direct connect instead of the custom way that I'm doing it now. But there's, you know, lots of options.
For the audience, for those who don't know, custom connector used to be something that you would write in code. You would say like, hey, I'm going to do this in .NET or Java or whatever. But now, because Azure APIM is a custom connector, you are legitly low code where you just select and suddenly you can pull that API into your Power App without having to write any lines of code at all. So we demoed that last week. Check out the Ignite James Phillips keynote, and you can see exactly how to do that. But that was high demand for many, many, many people who work in HR, legal, finance, operations, who are saying, this is great. I don't want to always have to call my dev to make a custom connector. So this is Linda being able to use it.
That's right. So also here, I created a drill down, which is also kind of complicated. Here's my Meteor. Bruce Willis, you know, as Harry Stamper, he looks relieved, I think, because this asteroid isn't hazardous. So, you know, and so I drilled down into that. Now I'm going to go into one of the hazardous asteroids. And for the hazardous one, I had, you know, I'm making it red. But also, I think that Harry Stamper looks a little concerned here. And this
he looks concerned about this one.
I think so. I think he's worried he's going to have to travel there to the asteroid and drill into it. But so anyway, that concludes my demo. And this was all super easy and extremely low code.
I love it. What I think is so interesting about this is that this set of tools is set up to solve business problems, not just tech problems, but basic business problems. You can be asteroid tracker. You can be HR person, you can be finance person, operations person, logistics person. And rather than you doing all this manual work yourself, write automation, write code, or write an app to solve these problems for you. You know, make the machine do your work. Look smart.
Exactly. I mean, with serverless, we got rid of infrastructure. We said we're abstracting away the servers because we don't want to deal with infrastructure. Now, Donna and I are going next step. We're now getting rid of the code too.
We're like serverless, so 2 years ago, code, so this year, leave it behind, leave it in 2020, man. Like, unless you need to write code, don't write code. And I'm you and I are seeing this as software engineers. I used to be all about everyone in the world has to learn to code and you better learn C++ tomorrow. But now I'm like, why am I doing this? Why? Unless you are building an operating system or specifically backend connectors or, you know, APIs or whatever, there's not really a good reason to do it unless you want to and you have to solve problems.
Mm-hmm. Instead of doing Python with kids, let's just do Minecraft.
Exactly. And I really, really love the idea of code becoming this kind of team sport where people who are coders such as yourselves, when you're working with a customer, say they're in the finance team, you don't need to start with, all right, now get Visual Studio. Instead, you can show them like, you know, you can build a Power App to make your nice looking finance app that tracks all your money and we will just hook you up to, you know, whatever data store you need. So
exactly. How many times have people said, I have all this, there's so much data out there. There's APIs or even within your company. We have this, you know, SharePoint data, or we have Excel data, or we have data in a database or it's in Azure and I want to like do cool stuff with it. Yeah. They're the world is out there for you to grab onto. There's so many little blocks you can drag and make cool things like bots or apps or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And what I really like is low code. It just kind of abstracts away where that data is located because every company, and I'm sure you see this way more than I do, which has got some weird random data store from like 1994. And they're like, oh, we can't get rid of it because it tracks like our financials that year. And I was like, okay, cool. But how do you visualize all of that data along with, you know, your last year's data that's in Azure or SQL or something modern in one place. Usually you'd have to do some weird shenanigans, like pay some intern to migrate all of that ancient data to this data store. And
or now, give it to Shadow IT.
Oh no, Shadow IT.
We're bringing Shadow IT to the light. They are now citizen developers.
We're light IT. And you know, the just this concept of fusion dev teams, I love that it gets rid of Shadow IT. It's like
exactly.
IT dev business people get together, form pods, solve problems, take over the world, avoid asteroids, be healthy, exit 2020.
All right, awesome. Yeah, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad we got to discuss all our passions together.
Yeah, this was legitimately, thank you so much, Create Serverless folks, for inviting us to really just like have a one-on-one conversation and get to know each other and be friends and tuning into our chat. You can find both of us on Twitter. We're highly findable, as are the asteroids.
That's right.
Hey, you two, that was the best demo ever. I enjoyed it's hard to even name what part of it I enjoyed. I'm stunned that we have constantly asteroids approaching Earth, but I should have expecting that. And then there's actually a Twitter account that tweets all of this, and it had cats in it. That was so awesome. Thank you both. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Linda. This has been a fantastic conversation. And for all of you on the stream that have asked so many questions, we're a bit behind with the schedule, as probably expected, which means that I recommend all of you to head over to Dev2 and ask away all of the questions. Donna and Linda will be in their office hours. There's an article there, and you can add questions in the comments area. So the QR code that helps you get to that page is actually at the right side of the screen. So make sure to scan that. And if you're looking to get intro information or more advanced information about low-code platforms, logic apps, and some of the tools that Linda and Donna have talked about and they've shared here, all of these QR codes, they take you to that information. So you're going to be able to see a video that is a deep dive into powerful serverless apps. But then I also recommend you all to join the community on air session. If you want to talk more with Linda and Donna and Jeff, make sure to register for their community on air session, and then you're gonna have that time to talk more about these awesome demos and about low code platforms. Awesome. Well, thank you both. Have an awesome rest of the day.